This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's been forever since we've seen each other. Walks back in the studio, beautiful, more beautiful than ever.
Born October 28th in Little Rock, Arkansas, our next guest is a graduate of the University of Illinois Chicago, who is a former member of the United States Air Force Reserves, went on to become an award-winning stand-up comedian, appear in such films as Beauty Shop, hosted her own satellite radio show, and since 2011 has been a co-host on the CBS daytime talk show, The Talk. And tonight and tomorrow night, you can see her live on stage at the Funny Bone. Please welcome Cheryl Underwood.
You. Now that is an intro. I need to make a ringtone or something. How you doing? We haven't seen each other since.
It would have been prior to 11.
Yeah. What was the club?
Stanford. Had the upstairs,
downstairs. Yep, drinks was good. Drinks was good. Okay, so wait a minute. I was listening to the song, I think. Did y'all turn me on to the fact that Rage Against the Machine made Pistol Grip Pump?
It would have been us.
Hey, buddy.
I know.
Come here, buddy.
I know. He's been meeting everybody today.
Come here, buddy.
He's like, oh, my man.
What's happening?
You see how he started to hang with the guys? He ran over there with the three, and he was like, oh, let's party.
Why are you going over there with them? You was talking to me before, and now we broke up.
No.
That's all right, buddy. I know what to do.
He's funny. And trust me, he loves to get in on the act. He'll come over. He knows when the headphones go on that if he wants attention, he can make noise, and then we start feeding him snacks because we want him to be quiet.
Little treats over there.
So he immediately starts getting cute about everything.
Now, what do you think about the refrigerated doggy food?
Being a guy without, I'm not married, I don't have kids, yeah. I'm okay with it.
Right.
My parents, if you just said we should get them refrigerator dog food, my mom and dad would have put a dog to sleep in front of us.
Back in the day, it was Alpo.
Yeah, of course.
That's what opened that can of Alpo, mm-hmm. and that was the fanciest.
My dogs always ate Purina dried dog food, the big bag of the giant nuggets, and that was it.
As y'all can tell, this is a rock station. These are white people talking. Black dog eat the food that the black family eat. That's why the black dog is leaning against the tree because it got high blood pressure, diabetes, liver disease, kidney disease.
Our dogs eat chicken, burgers, and everything from our table, too.
That's it. That's
spoiled
it.
As hell.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. it. That's well. It. Black dogs drink red Kool-Aid. Don't want water at all. Now, listen, y'all need to come get these tickets. Now, there's men on the show, and that's why I brought the guys, Mike Washington, Kyle Irby. They're men mm-hmm. on the show. I know where I am, but I'm very upset about the game last night because it messed up my fantasy football situation. Because y'all come over here and weigh in and explain why this was a mistake. Kyle Irby, don't say nothing against them because we need them to buy the tickets.
Sure, that's why I'm happy they won. I'm happy they won so they could be happy at the show. If it wasn't for the show, we'd be talking about something different.
Here's the weird thing about being from Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
We sucked for so long.
Yes.
We were everybody's second favorite team, right?
Yes.
Wherever you lived is your favorite team. And then, hey, I hope the Chiefs do okay.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, I'm going places and people are like, they hate you. Because we win. And now the team wins. But it's turned into that Tom Brady thing. And I never even considered that would ever happen to we're the Kansas City Chiefs. We're lucky to be here.
So at first it was cool that y'all was sort of winning.
Yeah.
Now they mad that y'all really winning.
It's really.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah. Target on your back.
Yeah, really? That's real, man.
Guy with the commander's hat on.
Yeah.
Man.
Nobody cares right now. They're not mad at your team right now.
Yeah, nobody's mad at your team right now.
They're mad at the dude that they fired that was making their content that was talking crazy.
Yeah.
They fired that dude faster than Well, yeah. I ain't gonna say it.
But it proves that a guy will talk any smack in the world for a piece of ass.
Okay? Then listen to me. I didn't want to say it. Thank you, Johnny, for saying it to the world. You done lost your good job and still didn't get what you wanted.
That's right.
From the girl. But wait a minute. So I had, who did I have? I had the Ravens.
You had the Ravens and you had Jackson.
Yes. Who I did on the show for Halloween. I dressed up as him for Halloween on one of the shows on the top. Yeah. But here's the catch, though. Explain to me fantasy football and why is it interesting?
You can't. It's not me.
He's the worst.
I don't. Sports, I want us to win. But I got other things to do in my life. Like, whatever reason, the sports thing that came along with all other when you're born a guy, I didn't get it.
Really?
Like, I want us to win. I watch Super Bowls. I'm like, it's great. And again, I'm a guy, like, I ride motorcycles. I blow stuff up. I'm a regular person.
Right.
But sports, I don't give a goddamn.
So I'm probably more of a sports guy than you are. Well,
almost every, my girlfriend is.
Okay. So listen, between like everybody, Mahomes. No, Priest Holmes was the player that I was chasing.
Was
Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about, chasing them. But here's the catch of it, though. I think I love Taylor Swift. I love them together,
right?
Don't you feel something is going to happen? Not Jessica Simpson, Tony Romo, something about to happen.
Because it's too fairy tale.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, no, everybody's taking the other shoe like, how's this play out?
Is he going to break her heart or is she going to break his heart?
It only ends with her breaking his heart. Come on. I mean,
but then would he play better with a broken heart?
No,
he won't.
She'll write better songs with a broken heart.
Yeah,
but he won't play better with a broken heart.
Man.
No, it won't work.
So we begging you, Taylor, to all the Swifties, tell her, please don't break this dude's heart before the playoffs. Is that what it is?
Because she is. I mean, think about it. And again, she's musically, it's not even my speed. I'm a rock guy, but obviously she's incredible. She's beautiful. She seems to be nice to everybody.
Uh-huh.
All reports come back that she's just a genuine sweetheart to human beings.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's, you lose that.
Absolutely. And she's like that in real life. Of the couple of times that I've been around her.
She walks in here one day. She forgot years ago. What year was that?
I think we thought it was 2016.
So Hand wrote her a note. She goes, look what I found in the box. And you and Mike, her husband, was a program director.
For country radio for 40 years.
Had met her and hung out with her. Wrote her this beautiful note. You looked beautiful last night, Nikki. It was so good to see you.
It's a handwritten thank you note on the stationery.
See, that's classy.
It really is.
That's classy.
You're like, what?
And handwritten. And I was like, hold on. You forgot you had a handwritten Taylor thank you note?
Thank
you. One day you walked in. I was like,
I've since put it in a Ziploc in a safe fire bag. So I took it seriously after that talk.
Why you didn't take it around town? To get free stuff from
I haven't put it on eBay
that's
yet.
Right.
Bigger
you better
question.
Know it. You better know
Our
it.
Our boss pulled me aside. He goes, I don't get serious about many things, but you should look into maybe, getting something out of that for a nest egg.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pay for the car or something. But listen, y'all need to come on over to the club.
Hey, do tickets still? Because I figured it would sell out right out of the gate, man.
Well, you know what? I would say comedy, would y'all say comedy's in a good position? It's a great time to be a comic between politics and sex, which is my show. Then Mike Washington is kind of your everyman, but still loving the Commanders. And then Kyle Irby, are you the guy that all women think they can change through sex? Isn't that you?
Yeah, and they always do. That they can't.
Yeah. Yeah, and they go. And then at the end of the show, we have something that we do where we let men get up on stage. And if the crowd loves them, they might be able to win some of my money. Yeah. And all you got to do is walk across it, tell them, Kyle. And a lot of men think when it's a female show, it's an hour and a half of men ain't nothing.
No, I
can't say the word right. Men ain't the,
S. I just put the first letter on it. But men ain't S, yeah.
That's right. But that's not what this show is about.
Yeah.
This show is... males and females could come, bring a table of guys, get a bucket of beers, let's drink and have fun. And then ladies can learn something about the male thought that I've been learning sitting around drinking with dudes.
That's what I remember from you, show. From when we first met, because I remember when you hit the talk, I was like, oh, how's this going to work? because, your show is, it's brilliant,
triple X.
But you're a born stand-up. I mean, that's what you do. At the core of you, you're a stand-up.
I was a bad stripper. That's what happened. Did y'all hear the story? I think your producer was talking to me about
it. That's right.
He didn't tell me. Please
you got to hear this story.
Please do.
It's so good.
I see an ad in, I think it was in the Chicago Defender, one of the black, really legacy newspapers in the community. You're talking about civil rights, all the things that we need to know about. We read them in the Defender. Sure. So there was an ad in there for a lingerie model. Now, listen, I can't walk in heels. I'm not the most daintiest person in the world. I'm pigeon-toed. I'm only 5'2". But I need to get through college. So I answer the ad, and I go down to a tavern on Stony Island, the Family Den, which is still there. And they say, put this on, and you're going to model it. So I'm thinking, okay, this must be a joke or something, but I need the money because I'm trying to go through college.
Yeah.
And I get up and I do it, and I'm horrible at it. I'm horrible. And you can picture these hood dudes like, you need to go home. You are horrible at this. So I start doing the Fred Sanford. I start telling jokes.
But she's wearing underwear. She's
lingerie. And I got the body for it. This is back my Def Comedy Jam body with the little bitty orange shirt with the stretch pants. So I got the body for it.
Doing Red Fox.
Yes. Oh, my God. And I'm ham boning and I'm telling jokes. And they're tipping me because they're laughing harder for the comedic performance.
See, for me, that's kryptonite. Like a funny woman, a beautiful funny woman. Like I'm drawn in.
But
like,
why I ain't got no man? I need to do? What's happening?
I'm telling you, that's like for me. Like there's nothing in this world hotter than truly like a beautiful funny girl. I'm getting murdered.
Hit the phones right now.
Right.
Hit the phones. We can talk politics. We can talk sports. We can drink.
Look at the sign of it. That's the Family Den.
Can I drink? Listen, I'm looking for is a man who understands. That's right. That's the location.
I would do anything for that sign. Like, yes. I collect weird stuff. I would do anything to have the Family Den Lounge Restaurant sign.
Absolutely. And what happened was a guy, a really connected street dude, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So I'm going to take you home because you really can't be doing this. You're not good at this at all. And we became good friends, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And I mean, lingerie modeling / stripping.
No, it takes a certain understanding.
But it's a great start. I mean, I tried. I kept dancing for a little while. I started my career as a dancer. I really was a singer at first. But, you know, when you're in the black community singing, you got to sing with an A. You can't sing with an I. You know what I'm saying? You got to sing. You know, when you got black people doing a twist mouth in the church, if you don't step down and let the preacher preach, we're leaving, right? And you know how black people love God.
And peelers, we always called them peelers, dancers. Mm-hmm. You know, trust me, if you want to understand human nature, a dancer knows.
Yes.
Like, women are like, they're trying to steal my guy. No, they're trying to steal your kid's college fund.
That's it. Because in y'all clubs, what are they? Coming to the stage, Ashley.
Yeah.
You know? With us, it's coming to the stage, Baba Shisha. And you'd be like, damn, Baba Shisha, fine as I don't know what. She got enough consonants in her name.
Trust me, and I've fallen for the whole I can save her bit, you know, when you first.
No.
Every young guy knows when you first go into a strip club, you're like, I bet if she just had somebody really good to love her, she probably wouldn't be like this. Her mom just needs a kidney. That's all she's here for.
Wait a minute. Are you wiping off the acrylic shoes, platform shoes, of course, man. Getting her out. Outfits ready.
Every guy falls for that at first. Then you realize, oh no, it's the money. It's not you. You're
really
wearing out that thong.
Yeah.
What's the song? I'm in love with a stripper. Is that T-Pain? Yeah. Now, what y'all want to talk about? Ask me anything because I'm sure a break is coming.
Oh, listen. Yeah, right. Listen, we can stay as long as you want to hang. Listen, we're wide open for you.
What y'all want to talk? Sports, politics, where you want to go?
No, it's up to you. Listen,
who we voting for? Who? Okay.
I'll tell you. I'm going to vote for Harris.
That's what I'm talking about. Listen to me. We about to win it. It's over. And I'm a registered Republican.
Yeah. No, listen. I'm a gun-owning, middle-of-the-road type guy.
Yes.
But, you know, there's just a certain, you know, look, without it's. Yeah, I'm just not a fan of him. I think what he brings is not okay for us. Trump's just, I'm voting against him.
Can you record this and send it to the K-Hive, the Kamala Harris administration, so that we can get over there? Poor Biden, though.
No. Oh. Dude, we were all watching it. We're like, listen, my parents, before they passed, their VHR, you know, or VCR was always, it would flash 12.
That's
where he was at.
That's Uncle Joe. He's a moving kind of slow at the junction.
He's struggling to eat ice cream.
Yeah. But you know what? Do you think they knew?
Yes.
But then why they let him get up and debate then?
All of us asked that.
Well, he had no choice.
Going,
Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
I think you have no choice, and you thought maybe he could, you know, pull it off with Trump being just that bad. Now Trump looks like the person that, you know, but only in America.
No, it's weird.
We vote in a grifter con man,
and we're dumb. Like, I watched the whole guy at this point. For the first time around, I got pretty wound up, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm just sitting back, and I'm just at this point. I've just got the weenie on the stick, watching it burn.
That's right. Whatever happens, happens.
I'm not wound up about it. I'm not fighting about it anymore. I'm not even arguing about it. I'm going to vote how I vote.
That's true.
My world's not going to get screwed up, because I mean, I really got caught up in it last time.
But this is the catch. Most people don't want to talk like we're talking. If we go back to talk like we're talking, you have a right to vote for who you want to vote
for.
If you love this dude, vote for this dude.
That's right.
I'm voting for Kamala. And don't come to me talking about, well, why are you voting? Because she's a woman? Yeah. Because she's black? Yeah.
Okay.
The conversation's over. Let's get some pizza.
Yeah, because I know a bunch of those guys on the other side voting for him because he's white. Yeah. Because he's
black.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. And if y'all would just honestly say that, then we know what votes we got tally it up. But I think what they're really going to try to do is separate us from each other. And we live in the greatest country in the world. We used to be able to just talk agree to disagree. We'll find out. That's what I talk about in my part of this show. Yeah. We really like each other as Americans.
Absolutely.
And we want to throw all the bums out. But now it's so polarizing that you can't talk. There are black people that want to have guns in a safe way and don't want they school shot
of course,
up either.
Of course.
And Kamala is not as liberal and progressive as you think that she is.
Well,
see?
It's identity politics, right? Like, everybody gets so, like, they start to worship at that altar, the t-shirts, the whole thing, man.
That's right.
But the same people that think those politicians care about them are the same people that think the strippers really enjoy them.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, come to the show if you work for the police department. What y'all got? State police? What y'all got?
We got them all, man.
Everything. Come on over. You're a fireman, whatever. You're going to have a lot of fun. It's very profane.
Not troopers. Everybody knows troopers do not have a sense of humor.
What? Are you saying they don't? You mean with the little Smokey the Bear hat?
No sense of humor.
You mean that guy?
You see one smile, you let me know.
Okay, listen. You come on over to my show. We're making troopers smile over at the Sherrill Underwood Comedy Show for the grown and sexy. Mike Washington, do you want to say anything to anybody?
Yeah, I want to rebuttal what he just said. You know, there's a friend of ours named Tony Woods. We got pulled over one day. I had a brand new BMW, so that he didn't believe it was my car. Now, the reason why is because
This was in
93.
Okay, anyway,
was it a trooper?
Yes. So long story short, he starts to write.
Never been done by Mike Washington.
Never been done by Mike Washington. We used to call him the Bill Cosby of our show until Bill Cosby got in trouble. So we had to pick another name. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So he was about to write us a citation. He wanted to check the car, right?
Right.
So he was like, well, I want to check the car. So Tony Woods is standing to the left. He said, hey, man, did you know your dog could smoke a cigarette? And his dog was in the car. He happened to look over. But when he looked over, you know, we could have did anything we wanted to do. When he turned back around, he bust out laughing.
See, that's like, amazing to me, man.
That's right.
Dude, last time I had a trooper stop me, I ended up in bracelets. That's a true story, man.
Yeah. But you live to tell the story.
Worst ever. I got stopped. I didn't have a tag on a motorcycle, and I was taking it back to the dealership, and the guy stops me, this trooper. Look at this. That's awesome. So the guy, but I don't know why, I didn't do anything, but he all of a sudden, bang, bang, I got cuffs on, but he puts me facing the highway. And the radio station's getting nothing but phone calls. Johnny's getting arrested on the side of I-70 right now. I mean, I'm there for 20 minutes. Looking at everybody.
Now, for everybody going to their computer going, who's Tony Woods?
Yeah.
Tony Woods is the guy who was driving Dave Chappelle because he was too young to drive. Am I right, Mike?
So he played for the Ravens.
That's right.
Sorry, just a picture.
Dave Chappelle, when he received his award for
Mark Twain?
Yes. He said if there was not a Tony Woods, there wouldn't have been a Dave Chappelle.
Really?
Yeah. And it was that whole crew, when it Wanda Sykes, Chris Rock, all of them, we all knew each other.
Exactly.
You know, we've all been friends for years. Jamie Foxx, all of us have been friends. When you talk about Steve Harvey and Bernie Mac, you talk about the really greats of that generation of comedy, all of us have been friends. But the one person I can't outdrink is Tony Woods.
Oh.
Can't outdrink him.
God, it just
I get close. Wig be tilted. eyelash on my forehead, but I can't beat Tony. I can't beat Tony.
So how do you listen, Shirley? Because I got to know when you jumped onto the talk, mm-hmm. and I mean we're talking 14 years, which uh-huh. is. Man, that's such a run. That is yes. anybody. If you guys don't understand television and that world, that run is impossible. It's an impossible shot.
Right.
But you come from such a great, genuine human place.
Yes,
that normally doesn't work at all when you get to television. Normally, that'll kill you. If you like, we talk about politics. You talk about anything human,
sex,
fart, what
religion.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is the destroyer. Right. They always tell you. Everybody creates a fake persona. Same way in radio. They'll do the same thing. Nobody wants to be honest about who we are as humans. How do you do it?
I didn't even understand it. I was getting a phone call from somebody saying they were calling from CBS. So I thought Steve Harvey and them was playing on my phone. So I cussed out everybody. Cedric, everybody. Kevin Hart. I called everybody. Chris Tucker. And I cursed them out. I said, stop playing on my phone. Steve Harvey was the only person that cussed me out back and went, call him back. It might be CBS.
Right.
And the way I tell it in the show, it's more profane because we were talking back and forward to each other. So I called the number, went to the meeting. I'm still not understanding that God is maneuvering this to give me one of the greatest jobs I will ever have, careers that I will ever have. So I'm in the meeting just talking. And they're asking me, who am I voting for? And I said, you can't ask me who I'm voting for. That's illegal. I call my lawyer in. I go, we about to be the S in CBS because we about to sue these people. Right. So they're laughing. But I don't know a job is open. Right. So then they like me and they tell me to go down and meet with Sarah Gilbert, who created the show from Roseanne.
Sure.
And Julie Chen Moonves from Big Brother. So I'm just thinking I'm going to meet them. I'm not thinking I'm going to join the table. And we're laughing, and I turn around and I go, obviously, you have more people to talk to. I said, whatever this is, whatever you're about to do, pick somebody that can keep this on the air. You all have money. The guy that's putting the lights up, the person that's laying out the clothes, the people that are putting the Twizzlers out, they're just trying to feed their families
and
pay their mortgage.
That's right.
So keep it going. And I turn and walk away. My phone rings. They say, can you go to breakfast with Sharon Osbourne tomorrow? I said, no, I cannot. And they were like, well, you might want to change your mind. I said, no, I'm not. And they were like, well, why not? I said, I'm going to Fort Bragg. I think it's Camp Liberty now.
Yeah,
but it was Fort Bragg.
Fort Bragg, okay.
Fort Bragg, California.
North Carolina.
In Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I said, I have a standing show that I do for the troops every Wednesday.
By the way, what a great play that is, right?
There.
That's like, that's such a great because it's legitimate because it's real.
That's right. I'm
gonna tell you, I get the goose because you go because there's nothing to be said then.
That's right. You can't break. So they said, well, you might want to reconsider. I said, no, you might want to listen to me. That I'm pro military. I was in the Air Force Reserve.
Air Force, by the way.
What basis?
My dad was in. Or he met my mom was in. Mildenhall in England.
Okay, I was there for Reforger in the 80s.
Yeah.
Reinforcing Germany and England when we thought we were going to fight the Russians.
Yeah.
That's where I was.
Norwich, England, Norfolk. Yeah.
Yes.
That's where my dad
was. So you know where I am. So here's what happens.
Yeah.
So they said, well, can you find somebody? So I found somebody to take my place in the show. And I said, I will explain to the audience whatever this is when I get back the next week. So I go to breakfast with Sharon, and Sharon vomits on me. In the Polo Lounge. Across the table is Nicole Richie, Bitch Matt, and the whole family and everybody. It's where all the movers and shakers go to do business.
Okay.
And Sharon throws up on me.
Like for real?
For real. Vomit. Nah.
Okay. Well, I thought you were talking figuratively.
No.
Like literally.
Oh, no. She vomits on me. And I had the baddest outfit. I had my Oprah Winfrey hair at St. John.
How did she not turn away? How did you not find your place?
St. John.
Yes. Thank you. I was wearing St. John back then. I was tight to death, right?
So,
and she vomits on me, but I'm thinking, well, maybe her and Ozzy got on that ooh-wee earlier than we thought.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that uncut
right?
ain't been stepped on, whatever they doing. You know what I'm saying? So she vomits on me.
Right.
And I think I'm going to get blamed for the white lady vomiting in the Polo Lounge. So I get her out of there. I said, get in your car. This never happened. Then my phone rings again and it says, welcome to the talk. You have a job for 13 weeks. And can you come to the Welcome Back Barbecue at Julie Chen and Leslie Moonves' house in Beverly Hills? So, you know, I'm black. All I heard was barbecue. You know, so
Jesus.
I'm trying to call out here to try to get some barbecue sauce
right,
so
right.
they have a good barbecue. Right. Yeah. So we get to the barbecue. And I guess at y'all barbecues, y'all play party games. At our barbecue, we play dominoes, tonk, bidwiz, spades. Y'all up here playing party games. So they playing some kind of party game. Tell a story you've never told that nobody knows. So at Sharon's table, she's telling a story of how she vomited on me at the Polo Lounge. So they come up to
That's
me.
Great.
Guy got tears streaming down his eyes. And he's like, tell me the truth. Did Sharon Osbourne throw up on you at the Polo Lounge? And I go, I've never met Sharon Osbourne in my life. Is she here? I'd like to meet her. Because I was never going to tell that story.
Right.
I was going to let her
there you go.
Tell the story because it's embarrassing.
That's right. And it's hers to tell, right?
Like Yes, that's right. And she tells it much better than me. And for whatever you think, for whatever happened that day between us on the air, you can't sit next to Aisha Tyler and Eve and Marie Osmond and Carrie Ann Inaba and Sarah and Sharon and Julie and not have a love for them.
Sure.
It's like a marriage that you're working with somebody each and every day. And we all thank God for our jobs to be able to, just like you all are family, to be able to speak to millions of people and touch their lives,
sure.
good or bad. That's a blessing.
And Sharon, if you read her book?
Yes.
So you know where she comes from, who her father was.
Yes.
How crazy of a world with Ozzy. Like she was just you remember when Sharon was just coming out from under her father's wing, he was a ripoff artist, con man.
That's right.
Stole from every band he ever did, destroyed bands.
Mm-hmm.
She was just this big, pudgy kind of English lady. Looked like my mom, honestly.
That's right.
And Ozzy's a hot mess. He's in a hotel room. She gets him cleaned up. Blizzard of Oz, the first solo record.
Mm-hmm.
Then Don Arden, her dad, offers to kill her and Ozzy.
Yeah.
You know, because he wanted the money back. Like, it's gangster business.
That's
like,
right.
It's for real.
But you know what's odd?
She's no punk.
But you're right that he comes from a humble beginnings.
Yeah.
And she's just trying to pull everything together for the family.
Right.
They truly love each other. And for people listening to this going, how can Cheryl speak so loving about Sharon after what happened on the air of the top?
But that was my point. I think she's damaged to a point where I don't know that she can control it.
See,
and I'm not giving her an excuse. I'm just saying, but just being a fan of Ozzy all these years.
And Ozzy's a really lovable,
very
smart,
sweet.
Kind,
yes.
and prolific talent. When I went to see them at the Hollywood Bowl, I think it was about 5 years ago, just as good. This is the guy that Sharon. But soon as the band kick up, you be like, well, that dude ain't the same dude I'm talking to.
Yeah.
And the band is still just as good. The drummer was killing it.
Well, and you know, this is the same woman who, when she caught Ozzy cheating on one time, convinced him he had AIDS.
Listen to me.
Told him he had AIDS.
And she's the kind of person that can convince you of that.
And
make you go take the test yourself.
He did no more. That's it. He did the No More Tours tour.
That's
and they were handing out I remember it.
That's right.
And then
all
of a sudden he didn't have AIDS.
Right.
I was like,
Ozzy,
you got to stop effing around on her. She's going to kill you.
But that's the same person, lover or hater, but that's Sharon.
That's
you
it.
Know, kids
that's
are wonderful.
Is.
Everything
is
great. And if you live on this earth long enough, everything don't have to be the end of a good relationship.
That's right.
We can,
That's right.
As long as we're alive, one day we might pick up the phone and go, girl, let's go to lunch, but don't throw up on me this time.
That's it. and you never know. Again, short of straight hatred, or there's certain things I can't get past, obviously, in life. But you're right. None of my friends vote the same way. We don't all see the seams the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But the threat of decency through everything, if that's still there, we're
That's
okay.
right.
We're
That's
okay.
right. And don't take yourself too seriously
That's
because
right.
these careers come and go. Look at how many people would love to get back on stage,
That's right.
but they can't. You just can't burn the bridge or ruin the relationship. Look, you guys are in radio, which everybody predicts that radio is going down.
Yeah.
Radio will always be here. It's still in the cards. It's still in your home.
It'll just be a different form.
That's right.
I mean, everything is evolving. Everything is changing. By the way, I'm a bridge burner from way back.
Like,
I mean, that's been my, like, I'll burn that bridge when I get to it, you know? Like,
I'm of the belief we talk to each other like family. I know you guys love each other, but there are days I thought I might choke you with my hair.
That's
like it just but you love each other. It's how
they
it
have
is.
Quit. They have quit and come back and quit and come back. And we're just friends. I wouldn't want to do this without them.
That's right.
But speaking of the show, I met Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez. I've met every superstar. To say you can interview Michael Douglas, to say you can interview.
What a gift.
That's
a
right.
Gift,
Ed Asner, a rascal. William Shatner.
You know, Asner's from KC.
Listen, the wildest, freakiest stuff that's said in my ear. when they walk on, because you know how the Hollywood thing where we hug each other.
Dirty Bird.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. Listen, I've heard the C word with the K on the end of it. Listen. Size, length, everything. And I'm like, I wish people could hear what's being said in my ear right now. By whom?
Dude, Bob Saget used to be like that.
Oh, listen.
And I love, and Bob and I were dear friends.
Now, Bob Saget, every time we saw each other, we try to match penis jokes.
That was him.
That's
he
right.
He said some stuff. You were like, oh.
Yes, yes. It was him and Mitch Hedberg. So I thought I was going to marry Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
And when he, I did not, the girl, I was like, she's not the girl for you. And
Mitch was special, man.
Yeah, he was like, Cheryl, I can't bring your life down like that. I said, you wouldn't. And we would talk about jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and he was one of my crushes, you know, that I loved him. But Bob and I used to talk, and he would go, Cheryl, that joke you wrote about this was phenomenal. Twisted like this. Or I would go, how do you get to be on a family video show and talk the way you talk? He said, the same way you're going to do it. He was just so kind and so good. But you know who the best kisser is?
Mm.
John Stamos.
Now, he looks like he might be. Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those dudes like you go, like, he's the kind of guy you find him banging your girlfriend. You're like,
I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go out here and make you guys some eggs.
Yeah.
That's
you guys need some water?
Like, you need a massage. You look like you're about to cramp up. You want me to get you a banana?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's that guy. He's that guy. You would never think, first of all, I thank you guys for recognizing Cheryl Underwood is not supposed to be according to the business.
Well, that's how we met. How I met you is as a stand-up.
That's right. So where am I supposed to be on the number one network, CBS, the way I am, and they just let me be me?
No, it's and that's what every I see this in radio all the time. They hire somebody who's a solid talent, and then some dickhead tries to change them.
Yes,
like, and I'm like, hey, let them do what they do.
That's right.
And if that's not what you want, then get rid of them. But don't bring them in and then tell them what they are, what they do, what they've created is not right.
Yeah, produce me to my greatness. One thing that Tupac Shakur said to me was, "Do what got you invited."
That's it.
And that's why I try to give you Cheryl in a way that validates the person that made the decision to give me the job. What were you going to say?
I was going to say it happens in sports all the time.
That's right. That's
how?
Right. Yeah.
They'll bring in a rookie and they'll try to change him, try to put him in a different position or have him playing, you know, quarterback in a different way, and it always ruins a person.
You know, you're the oldest person here, so you are going all the way back before pads and helmets, Duke Rockne. You're going back when the black guy couldn't be the quarterback.
Back when they told Randall Cunningham to play safety.
That's right. That's right. That's how far back
he was. Come on, Kyle. My man. Come on, Kyle.
That's far back.
No, I was a yes and, Mike. I agree.
Yeah. You're going back when Jim Brown and everybody got together to protect Muhammad Ali. You're going back that far. That's not happening now.
So listen, and I don't know if you still have your mom and dad or not.
Both my parents are gone to be with God.
Mine are gone as well. But were they here to see you get the talk?
My mother, I have two mothers. So I have the mother that gave birth to me and then the mother that raised me. The mother that raised me, she got the chance to see it. My father, when he told God that he would give his life to Christ and never go into what he called a tavern, he never came into the comedy club to see me. But he would watch on TV with the sound down and he got a kick. While you pointed, come here, buddy. So he got a kick out of the fact that I'm really would you guys say I'm reserved?
Yeah.
Conservative, reserved, laid back? Yeah.
Yeah. What I do on stage is a part of my personality.
Sure, of course.
That I would hope that people would understand it's a part of me.
That's right. It's just
it's not
a big version, right?
That's right. I'm really doing an impersonation of my father. But my father got a kick out of the fact that the jokes were so dirty and so profane. And he would go, I'm going to tell people that you're over there sitting there reading the Bible with some thick glasses on. Right?
That's right.
Because that's the truth of life.
Yeah.
I'm a registered Republican that's a moderate, you know. So I have duality in my life. Now, my mother, she was kind of a, you know, we all have the person that we want that love from that person.
Of course.
But you're not going to get it, but you strive for it.
Well, that's almost every guy and his dad.
There it is.
I mean, that's you're never going to be, even if it's not real in our heads, it's never good enough. We're never going to get there. Like, it never ends. It doesn't matter how old we get.
But the fun part about it is my relatives and every Underwood. Okay, I have to tell you a quick story, and I know you might need to wrap this up.
No, listen, I'll tell you when we get a roll.
Okay, good. So I born in Arkansas. So I come back to do a show, right?
Where, down in Little Rock?
Yep.
Okay.
Cabot, Little Rock. The limousine driver puts a C in front of my name, not an S. I come down the escalator and I go, "Hi, I'm Cheryl Underwood. You're driving me today." Hillbilly. Redneck.
Right. Well, there's only two kinds of people in Arkansas.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Nice. And what the goddamn is wrong with you?
That's right.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people. Yeah. Hundreds of people standing around a limousine driver, and the guy goes, "Who the hell?" But he don't say hell. "Who the F are you?" He said, "Because I've been standing down here for 45 minutes waiting for Carrie Underwood to come down this damn elevator." And I'm like, "What?" I said, "I'm Cheryl." He just put a C on it. But that's the beauty of my life.
Right.
And that's the beauty. Absolutely. And in the military, when we had downtime, that's when I found out I could make other people laugh. So I'm wearing my USO jacket, which, because I love, and it fits, and it's got pockets. And I go over to Afghanistan, and we're out at the FOBs. They don't care about me. They care about the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. So they pushing me aside. This is when Petraeus was in charge.
Okay.
So I'm getting ready to tell my jokes, but I'm like, they're not going to think I'm funny. So they go, "We're going to bring up a comedian." And, and I'm scared to death. I tell every dirty joke I know. I hear these grizzly battle-scarred dudes on the headset go, "Whoever that black girl is, protect her." I never laughed that hard in my life.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
It's the best.
That's
feeling.
The audience you want. Like, that's right. The one. That's the payoff.
That's right. So if you can find a way.
I get it back. Like,
that's it. If you can find a way to just make somebody happy. Nobody woke up to be treated like
that's
dirt.
Right. That's right.
You know what I mean? So to me, what we do is a great job, but it's an intellectual job. And people think you just get up in the morning. There's no preparation to this. There's preparation. You just don't see it. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's it. Again, like anything else, of course. And you got to be genuinely, like with us, curious.
Yes.
You have to really want to be here and want to know and want to just. And then there's another way to twist it into entertainment.
That's right. Always be curious. I feel like a really good sexual joke allows you to impart some wisdom and knowledge.
Of course.
On a person that doesn't agree with you. But everybody agrees with great sex.
That's right.
Everybody.
It's why we all get, and it's funny that we're all so offended by it, but we're not.
That's right. We're not. We're not.
But I have no idea where that all came about. I'm like, Jesus Christ, if sex wasn't such the reason I get up in the morning.
That's
right.
It's
like, I'd live under a bridge eating beans out of a can. Everything I buy, taking showers, shaving, body group, it all goes down to one thing.
That's right.
Like, it all comes back to the same thing. I'm just trying to get laid at some point.
Absolutely. The very unattractive girl who has a heart and focused hard on her activities get a good man.
That's real.
And women are wondering how the hell did that happen, because she had a good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you come to the club, I got one really good move. One, I'm not going to tell you what it is. What did you say that I could say?
A hug.
Yeah. Mouth hug. I love that one. That is a
t-shirt. We had to invent that term because, obviously you can't say the other. So,
oh, my gosh.
Mouth hug.
I think we can make a fortune on t-shirts.
I'd like to buy the first 10, please.
There we go. I think that would be great. Can I just tell you something? This has been, because most of the time we gun it, right? We gun the interview. But I think you can do this on TV.
That's awfully nice of you to say.
I think you could be the white club Shay Shay. You just won't have everybody fighting against each other.
Isn't it funny? People don't want to agree or listen to anybody.
Right.
How the hell are you going to learn something?
Absolutely.
Like, how am I going to learn anything about what you've talked about today if I've just got my head up my ass?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And that some celebrities take themselves too serious. And the politicians now, they don't want to serve the community. They want to be pundits. They want to sell books.
That's exactly right. No, that's it. That's why I don't, no masters, no gods. Like, I just go, listen, I don't give anybody that much ruling
power
in my life.
That's right.
In my life.
Power in your life.
You think for yourself. I'm not worried about what either side thinks of me. I got to sleep at night. I got to look in the mirror. I know what's good and what's right, and that's how I. That's
here's
how I
my question though: why can't we go back to going to small bars and diners and talking to each other and go, "What do you think about the news today?" And instead of us trying to be validated, how about we try to understand each other and listen to each other and go, boy, you know what you're talking about. That was some great coffee and great pie. Fact. I'm getting in my truck. You know what I mean?
It's funny because that's why I still ride motorcycles. I just took off by myself for a week and rode down into Memphis, St. Louis, Memphis, down to New Orleans, Jackson, Mississippi, into Nashville, back to Memphis and back. But every stop is a dive bar. Every stop is a diner. Every stop is, and you sit and you listen and you talk and occasionally you'll meet somebody.
That's right.
Mate, the greatest lady. It was so good. And this is, so I'm in New Orleans. I got to get some clothes. It's hot as balls down there. It's just, you know, it's August. It's a terrible time to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah.
There's a place called Suds and Duds on Bourbon Street. And I walk in, this old lady, she's already pissed off at me. It's 3 o'clock and I'm like, and she's like, ugh. She goes, and she's 70 years old. She's mad. The air conditioner is broken. She doesn't want to take my clothes. And you had a choice, right? I could either get salty back because I don't know her. And she's like, God damn it. She's cussing at me already. I don't want to take, I already got to deliver some clothes. You're not going to get them back today. And I go, and I could see her little name tag. And I go, Dinah? I go, you having a terrible day? And she's like, yes. And I go, okay. I go, I'm going to walk across the street. There's a convenience store on Bourbon Street. Across, I go, I'm going to get you some Gatorade and I'm going to get you some ice. She, I don't want that. And I go, I'm going to go get it. And she goes, well, then get me the blue Powerade, not that sugar-free stuff, because I ain't drinking it if you bring it. I go back and I bring it back and I give it to her. And I leave and I go, if I can get my clothes tomorrow, that'll be great.
That's right.
I walk in the next day. There's a whole new human being there.
That's right.
She is so great. She is, my stuff is bundled up.
Yeah.
I get two hugs from her. She goes, that bad guy, she goes, it's in my fridge right now. It didn't melt. Thank you. You saved my life. Like, just this incredibly nice, totally 100% different person.
Absolutely.
But that's your choice. Right now,
that's right.
I could have barked something mean back to her, walked out feeling filled with righteous indignation.
That's right.
Right? Or I just thought, I don't know.
You lost a new friend.
Yeah.
That's why I say talk to everybody like you're talking to Jesus. You can't go wrong. Because when you get to heaven and Jesus goes, you know, I was talking to you at the radio station and I had a T-shirt on with Kool-Aid on the front. That was you, Jesus.
There you go.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Now, what's happening with the retired male Chippendale stripper?
This is
over here.
This is F and G.
F and G.
F and new guy. Yeah. So we got him a while back. He came in to fill the position. He's an interesting guy. Cheerleader in high school.
No.
In college, cheerleader.
No.
And straight, apparently, which is shocking. So choir.
Sing a cappella and do gymnastics.
Really? Okay, so you were wearing them stretch stirrup pants and doing the pommel horse and all that?
I was not doing the pommel horse, no, but just doing like tumbling and cheer and stuff. Yeah.
Really?
You holding the girls up
by
the butt?
That's right. Got you. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I enjoyed every second.
Yeah, keeping your hands to yourself, sort of.
But you actually fired on the moms, not the girls.
Well, when I coached gymnastics, yes. Not the girls, yeah.
You was milfing. You was milfing.
That's right.
Okay, can I
and
say
the moms
that?
Be caked up, too,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah,
100%.
And the cheerleader thing, so I was like, were you getting laid by the cheerleaders? He goes, no, it's better than that. He goes, the cheerleader's friends.
Yes.
I didn't want to keep it in the family. I was like, where were your friends at?
Where your friends at? They got plenty.
No, suddenly the light went on in my head. I was like, that's pretty smart.
That's
man.
Genius. That's right.
That's how you keep your job.
That's it.
That's how practice has stayed cool.
This is the best. You should do this as a live podcast.
Yeah, listen.
You should. I think you could interview anybody, politicians, musicians, everybody, business people. I bet you can interview Elon Musk and get him to tell the truth about things.
Well, listen, I love people. I really do. Like, that's my favorite thing. And honestly, interviews, and you know, this is what you do for a living. Yeah. Like, the joy I get, and you, I'm sure you get the same thing.
Yes.
When you meet somebody truly interesting, you go, wow.
Yes.
Wow, man, isn't that fantastic? And then the realization that they did grow up much time, like just like we did.
That's right.
And it is fascinating to me. Everybody from like Clint Hill, who was there when JFK was assassinated, he came in and spent like an hour and a half with us.
Really?
And just looking at history, I mean, you're touching history.
That's right.
You know,
how did he, because I heard that is it true that he never really got over what
he
happened?
He never got.
That's right.
He was Secret Service for five presidents.
Mm-hmm.
When he failed, he, in his eyes, failed because JFK was assassinated. You know,
mm-hmm.
he There was no therapy. There was no talking to anybody. You That's couldn't. Right. You were if you wanted to keep your job, you shut up and you looked forward and you had to show him that you were strong and all this. Right. But inside he's dying. He's
That's
looking
right.
at this little boy who doesn't have a father anymore.
That's right.
You know, and he loved that family. And it wasn't sexual. It wasn't, you know, you think
it was
about
protective.
It. Yeah. Very
and in
much
one
so.
Second he probably felt if I would have moved 1 second.
Of course, everything.
But then okay,
over
let me
and
ask
over
you a question.
Over and over in his head.
Did he talk about any of the conspiracies that everybody's putting
he
out
was interested because I'm looking him in the eye like we're right now and I'm like people talk about two shooters they talk uh-huh. about the grassy knoll and he's I mean he straight lined it he was like there was one shooter John and I mean and I still have a hard time believing that but I do believe he believes that
yes
and whether or not because he was I mean It was straight line business. He told all the stories. Nothing yeah. overly juicy, but talking about Jacqueline and talking about mm-hmm. Aristotle Onassis and JFK pulling him into an office ahead and going, hey, she's going to go to Greece and she must meet with this guy. Uh-huh. Don't you ever let them alone. I mean, like,
that's right. That's
like
right.
Crazy
that's
stuff. Right. And you talk about that. And then you talk about, I didn't know about Lyndon Johnson. He was a pretty great man.
Yes.
Like he gets overlooked in history.
That's right.
His contribution to the space program and the civil rights.
That's
and
right.
continuing on with JFK. And
as a Dixie Democrat,
that's
as
right.
a Southern Democrat, he was the only one that could have done it.
Yeah. And, I mean, it really was mm-hmm. astounding.
Yeah. Just like Joe Biden was the only one that could have pushed Trump out of the White House at that time when we needed somebody to do that. But I still believe there was only one shooter because most people have never fired a automatic or high velocity weapon and understand what happens. But look at the conspiracy theory about Trump and the ketchup packet and the
phone. Oh, yeah, sure. Everybody, hey, there's always a conspiracy.
No, that's right.
Right.
That's
but,
right.
But
that's right.
I've stood at Dealey and walked around and looked and taken a look and been like, how in the hell did this happen this way?
Yes.
But listen, it did.
Whether,
but we need conspiracies, right? Because we need boogeymen.
Absolutely.
We have to have a bad guy
to
somehow make it work inside of our heads.
Yes, yes. Who would have thought, and I'm about to say my age, okay, if you look at, All the President's Men and Hal Holbrook is Deep Throat, and you see that guy in real life, and you go, wow, that's the dude in the garage that's telling them everything.
Yeah.
Wow, and these two dudes, nobody looks like Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman, but he looks like the Deep Throat dude. And that's now with social media and everything accessible in your phone, we had to wait for the news to come on. We had to read it in the paper. So it's to meet somebody in history, I totally agree with what
that,
you're saying.
It's the best. And again, you get to meet the greats. And, you know, and you included, Cheryl. Listen, you're a great stand-up. Like, that's how I met
Thank you.
So
Thank
when
you.
I saw you, and I like to see good people win. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's, if I still have a childish, naive, big part of my heart, it's mm-hmm. I love to see good guys win.
Absolutely.
Like I got to believe that's how the world is supposed to work.
Absolutely. And to me, to be able to do stand-up and to hear my colleagues go, when Chris Rock said on the 25th anniversary of Def Comedy Jam, who I can't follow, Bernie Mac and Sheryl Underwood.
Whew.
And I'm
I mean,
like,
that's...
What?
That's it. That's
yeah.
Tough.
Why am I not making more money? You know,
fact.
But I don't want other people's career.
That's right.
I want the career that I have. With the talk going down in December, I'm proud of the work that we did. I'd like to come back up and do another show if God says so, or it can be produced.
And I know this is inside, but didn't I read that you had signed a development deal with these guys?
Absolutely,
now?
Absolutely.
Good on you,
and we got some things coming. We got some things coming that we will bring back to you that I want you to see and I want your audience to enjoy. But I think for me, compared to all the other females, I like profane, sexual, political relationship discussion.
Yeah.
I like it. It's just like sitting at a bar talking to your friends.
Of course.
I just get paid for it.
Dude, we all sit around bust balls, right?
That's right.
Like, that's how
that's
you know,
right.
my friends know that's how I love you.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And it's not mean-spirited.
That's
it's,
right.
It's just, that's how we talk. It's how we communicate.
Absolutely. And I ask the audience to hold on. You're going to hear some things you may like. You're going to hear some things you may disagree with, but just hold on.
That's right.
And all I'm doing is scanning the room. Mike is scanning the room. Kyle is scanning the room. We just want to get everybody to laugh one time all together at a joke that we wrote. That's all we want. And for comics, for all of us to be together, to see Jeff Ross, to see everybody that we knew going, man, if I could just only get 15 minutes, if I can only just be the feature act, if I can only tour, right? So now we're feeding our families and we're all in middle age just trying to pay our mortgages.
Sure.
But all of us love each other. Now, are we competitors? Absolutely.
Of course, every day. Every day. That's an important component.
That's right. That's right. But we're all good friends. And I think the Nikki Glazers, isn't that the young girl that's going to host the...
Yeah, just from St. Louis
the
down the road.
Goats, right.
She's a monster.
She's from St. Louis. I didn't know that.
Yeah. She's
strong.
And
yeah.
I love the fact that she's going to host the Golden Globes because you know you've made it when they ask you to host an award show. I'm probably the only person coming from our generation of stand-up that's hosted the Daytime Emmys 5 times.
And I'll tell you, I think that's the most precarious.
Yes.
Like, is that a lot of, you know, those people don't like to laugh at themselves.
Absolutely.
A lot of times. Like,
absolutely. Like, you got to walk a fine line.
But when you bring it right,
yes.
Really, it comes in like it's.
That's right.
So I am looking forward to her as well.
It's a love. To me, great host, you got to love the audience and hate them at the same time.
Yeah.
If there's a way to say it.
You got to find, again, you got to, it's ball busting at very high level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who would you want to see now? Who are the guys that are hosting the Oscars?
Eugene Levy, the
Levy family, a Levy family. I think that's going to be really, really good. But I'm an old school Billy Crystal.
Me too, and he's real dry. And I love Eugene Levy.
Yes,
like love the family, like everything about it. Like
I love
all the Christopher, like those old Chris Guest movies.
Yes.
Waiting for Guffman.
Yes.
You know,
but like, that's what's going to be good for us that knows that side. And then he's got his son, so it's that banter is going to be great. I just hope they're a little bit more edgy, you know, and kind of knock people off their high horses a little bit. But life is good for us in comedy.
Yep.
Yeah. Do we want to sell tickets? Absolutely. Do I want you to come out to the show? Absolutely. I'm learning social media. I'm just getting on Snapchat. I'm just getting on TikTok, even though I'm scared of TikTok.
Yeah, no, it's
wrong.
I throw pictures up. I throw some stuff. I share some things, but I don't get involved any further than that. I'm like, this is what we're doing. These are the photographs. These are the videos. Mm-hmm. But I definitely don't get into debates. Like, I'm scared
of TikTok because I think they're going to drain everything out of my phone. Because
yeah, you know what? I don't TikTok.
Listen.
That I think at a certain age, a man on TikTok should
have you seen the difference between the TikTok that's here in America and the TikTok that's overseas?
I've not.
Oh, it's totally different. You need to check it out.
No, and I don't think that's conspiracy. I think that's very real.
I think it's real.
The way into our lives is through a phone.
That's right.
That's the one thing. Like, you know, I mean, that's a genuine. You don't have to be a nut job to go, hey, man, they're going to come into your phone, your bank account, everything that
that's
you have,
it.
Everything you know in your
that's
world.
It.
They just turn the switch off. Click. You don't got to blow up a country.
And
turn them off.
You won't be able to write your name. No cursive anymore. And you won't be able to write your name. You won't be able to read. And you won't be able to add because the phone is doing everything. Remember when we were younger, you had to pull out a paper map and
I was
unfold
just gonna say
it.
That.
Right? I know GPS.
God bless you. Yeah, oh, did you? Okay, because we laugh about that on motorcycles. Like, in the old days, you'd have to pull it out barely out of your vest and try to get one little square. Otherwise,
it'd wrap
around your head at 60 miles an hour. Like this. And I got a little computer on my bike that goes, gas is going to be in 21 miles over here. You're going to take this way. And I'm like, this is crazy. I used to have to drive around the goddamnedest roads just looking for stuff.
I used to have a job. I used to have to go to 7-Eleven and get one of those maps, one of those books.
Yeah, sure.
Look on the grid and understand what the
atlas.
Grid. And yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and they used to have, there were ones called gold books, too, because I was a paramedic before
indeed.
I got into radio. And
really?
You used to have those things.
I was a field medic.
Get out of here.
And our training instructors were these grizzly Vietnam vets, and they would go, well, first, when you get on the field, take that helmet off with the Red Cross, because that's the target.
Yep.
That's what they shooting
at.
Because if they can get the medic, then the whole unit is down, right? And then they would say stuff like, well, the little ones, they're going to rape you little ones. And I was like, you're not raping me. I got a .45 on my hip. Geneva Convention says, I don't care what the Geneva Convention says. My grandma Geneva said, be home. I'm making it out alive. Somebody's getting shot.
Get ahead of a Geneva grandmother.
That's so good. Guys, because I keep forgetting to know, guy, Casey Funny Bones, owner Rosa, two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night.
Yes.
If there's any tickets, you need to get online now. Casey Funny Bones, Zona Rosa, tonight, tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
They're going to be great shows.
And when we come back, we're trying to get the clubs to agree to on the Friday night second show. It's going to be comedy for the fellas, ladies lockdown for the ladies.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, so we're going to audition dancers. So you come out of retirement. You come out of, would you dance if you, you know how much money you can make?
He's so vain. I assure you, he would. He would.
You're so vain.
I've heard songs about me.
Yes. You wouldn't do it?
I could do it.
Yeah.
I could do it.
See, I want to audition dancers, and I want it to be the second show on Friday because that's usually the slowest show.
Oh my God, where's British Lee?
Oh my God.
Dude, I had this buddy, British Lee. He came from England, obviously, uh-huh. And he came on a wrestling scholarship. He was a paramedic.
Uh-huh.
Now he works with heart guys down in Florida, but super built, 80, you know, really? Like dude who runs 30 miles a day. Like he uh-huh. shoots bicycles. And I had no idea when he first came here as an immigrant, he was dancing in one of those male dance reviews.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea till his wife at the time told me that she had asked him to dance for one of her girlfriend's birthday. And he did it in a thong. And I go, that's no. And she pulls out the phone and starts telling me and showing me. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, there he is in a banana
really?
Hammock just ripped. And I was like, girls love him. Oh, my God.
Well, we're going to audition for that tour and that show. It's still going to be comedy for the fellas.
Oh, that's perfect.
Something extra for the ladies. We're bringing it out 2025. But for this weekend, the end of every show, we have a group of guys get up and try to win my money.
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. The shows tonight and tomorrow night are going to be great.
That's right.
Casey Funny Bone, Cheryl, man, I'll keep you as long as you
want. Let's all keep in touch. But I got something I got to bring back to you.
Yes, ma'am.
That you're going to really, really love. And I won't tell you until we bring it back. It'll probably come out in October. And we'll bring it back to you.
All right.
And you're going to enjoy it. And I thank God for everybody that still watches the talk. But I got more career and more life to live.
No, it's another chapter. Yeah. It's coming, man.
Yeah.
Dude, that is. And last thing I want to say is, are you like me? Like, sometimes I get afraid, mm-hmm. but mostly I get excited because that little fear gets back in my gut. And I go, oh, here we go again.
Yes.
Like, you have to make it happen. You have to. You don't have any choice. It has to happen now, so go.
That's right. You have no safety net. This is the tightrope walking. And matter of fact, I was just talking to my agent over at Innovative, and he said, are you serious that you only want to work this time of the month? I said, what you got? He said, I can book up your whole year by October. And I was
Buddy was like, October. Wait a minute now.
You are we going
told
somewhere?
Me.
That's right.
We was going St. Patrick's Day to St. Croix.
Buddy, we're like, what's happening? I gotta get in the car, I gotta bring my doggy bones and everything.
Right.
But yeah, I'm gonna work as much as I can, because if you look at it like this, you're right. Some people get comfortable in this. Yeah, I've been on TV for almost 14 years. This will be the last season, the 15th season. Well, now I got to go back to the grind.
That's
I got to
right.
go doing comedy clubs, and I got the greatest team.
Well, that's what's fun, right?
Yeah, that's also that energy. It's kind of a fear, but if God will take me to it, he'll take me through it. Right?
I like that. I like that. Yeah. That little insecure, that fire that fires back up and goes, "Hey, man, get back to it. Like it's time to go do it again."
Yeah. And I think I got the best show. I got because we got banter in between each act. Don't you think, Kyle?
Well, I think it is because I'm on it, but also because the audience loves it.
Yes. Yes. Mike, don't you think we got the best show?
I think so. I'm telling you right now, seriously, on the road right now, I think pound for pound, we have one of the best shows. We do the same thing every week. And I'm telling you right now.
I've been polishing these jokes for 40 years.
Yes, indeed.
45
yes,
years.
Indeed.
Yeah, I've been polishing these jokes for years. And I love the fact that we crafted a show that we can take anywhere. Comedy clubs, casinos,
right.
anywhere. But you're right. It's that feeling of what's going to happen next.
Yes.
You know, what's going to happen
next.
Yes,
it's the best. Dude, what's around the next corner, over the next hill? Like, that's, I hope I never lose that because I don't want to hit the end of the road.
That's
live
right.
performers are the best because you have to be on cue every time. See,
absolutely.
Like, in a movie, the same thing will happen at the end. But when you're live on stage as a singer or comic, man, it's I have that nervous energy every time, but I love it, though.
Well, I can't sing. I sound like Lou Rawls now. My voice is different.
How can we find you? I know Cheryl Underwood. Yeah. We can find you on social media, but Kyle, Mike, everyone, how can we find you?
K-Y-L-E-E-R-B-Y, Kyle Irby. Or if you go to Cheryl's, you'll see us all. You'll see stuff that we all do together.
Hey, okay. Greg, will you grab all this and throw it up on our social
what you
media
got,
page,
Mike?
Gregory?
Will do.
I'm laughing. L-A-F-F with Mike Washington at USA.com.
You can right? tell who is the oldest because they put the longest. Yeah, laugh with.
Man.
You're L-A-F-F. Is it L-A-U-G-H? Laugh, W-I-T-H?
I was so embarrassed. She said,
now my computer got to be rebooted because he didn't put this long ass name.
She said, sure, are you sure? It's .com.
Yeah. So you don't have an AOL account, you know? You got a MySpace page. You know,
Calvin trying to help me. I say, Cal, oh, man, I had it.
He was the great.
Yay!
Great Trilla.
Yay. Thank you for letting us meet your friends.
That's all right. That's
JC right. Funny Bone, Zona Rosa, tonight, tomorrow night. Cheryl Underwood. Cheryl, you are just as
thank
beautiful.
You. Thank you. We will be together again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.